Welcome back to Kinda Funny's MCU in Review, the show where it all began. Of course, I am Tim Geddes, and I'm joined by the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez, and it's the Big Daddy, Greg Miller, with what in his hand?
That's a Coca-Cola classic, Andy. Maybe you've heard of it.
Why'd you say it like an 80-year-old man? That's a Coca-Cola classic.
There was so much lip movement on
the
that.
The problem that nobody says Coca-Cola anymore. They just say Coke. Can I get a Coke? I'm on Coke. That's what they all say. Yeah. Nobody says, can I have a Coca-Cola classic?
Yeah.
And there are some things that just sound fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Sometimes I like to think of the corners of my mouth when they're touching when I'm talking, and a lot of times they're not having fun. When you say Coca-Cola classic, you feel
that's
it.
All parts
roof
of your mouth
my mouth enjoying that too.
What do you feel about that? Scarfino.
Man, I think that's the exact energy we need for the Secret Invasion review right now.
Maybe I've been a Skrull all along.
Oh my God, can
the
you
real
imagine?
Greg Miller died on his motorcycle.
Oh yeah. Can you imagine the real Greg Miller being a motorcycle riding cool guy?
He was a 3-year-old boy. He was run over by the motorcycle.
Holy sh! Wow. You know, hey, this is a Kind of Funny's in Review.
But I licked his DNA.
Each and every week we get together to rank, review, and recap different movie franchises or cinematic universes, as you will. We've been doing a whole bunch of different ones, revisiting a bunch of interviews that we've done the last couple months. But here we are, returning to the MCU once again. Next week, we're returning to Turtles in Review with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem. A little sneak preview of that. I got to see it last night. I really liked it, Andy.
Whoa.
Y'all are in for a treat with this one.
Wow, okay.
Then after that, we're returning to the DCEU for one of the final times, Greg Miller. Blue Beetle.
That. We've been saying that too many times. We'll see when the final time actually is.
Yeah, yeah. Aquaman apparently probably get delayed. Thank you. That was good. I have a feeling we won't hear it for the first time.
No, I don't even know the notes anymore. He doesn't deserve me to know the notes.
What is it? Is that the Blue Beetle song?
Wonder Woman.
Oh. God, I'll tell you what, DJ Junkie XL and Hom Zimmer, they just did two bong riffs. Like, let's do it. They did it.
I get a riff.
That guitar.
We have 12 minutes to submit this.
We forgot one.
But here we are doing something a little bit differently. We're talking about Secret Invasion, which is the latest, the ninth Disney Plus MCU television show.
Yeah.
And before, every time we did one of the shows, we would do the weekly screencast breakdowns with this group or some variation of this group. And then we would do the in review as well. But this time we decided to do it a little different. I did one-on-ones with a bunch of different guests throughout the last couple weeks doing some breakdowns. And he just had that So Raven moment. Getting them rankings sent over. But anyways, we've been doing the breakdowns of episode by episode, so you can go check that out. A whole bunch of really cool people: Angelica Trey, Anthony Carboni, and Sage Ryan, Eric Boss, MT. I had a great time doing all of that stuff, talking to them. But now, here we are all together. Y'all have watched this in a much more binge fashion the last couple days.
Yes.
So we're going to do the whole proper Kind of Funny in review treatment for Secret Invasion. Like I was saying, you can get the show on youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com in video form. But if audio form's more appealing to you, you can go to your favorite podcast service and search for Kind of Funny in Review, and we'll be right there for you. If you wanted to go above and beyond, patreon.com/kindoffunny is where you want to be. Just like Nathan Lamothe, James Hastings, and Casey Andrew have done. We appreciate all of you Patreon producers so very much. Because you support us, you don't need to hear the ads that we'll tell you later for Honey, BetterHelp, and Shady Rays. Let's get into it. Secret Invasion, released from June 21st to July 26th, 2023. It is the ninth MCU Disney Plus show and the 43rd entry in the MCU.
43!
The 43rd entry.
I'm 43.
You're 43?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a secret invasion.
One a year since I was born.
Yeah. So this one had 6 episodes running, ranging from 38 to 58 minutes. The first 3 were a little closer to an hour, and the last 3 were a little closer to that 40-minute mark. The music was done by Chris Bowers, who also did the score to Bridgerton.
I'll be fucking on that show.
They'd be fucking.
Not as much as season 2, I'll tell you what. You know, whole time I was sitting there going, what can I jack off doing this?
Holy shit. God damn. There's no recovering from that.
Have a scroll.
You have a scroll.
You can't blame a real Greg Miller for this one.
Yeah.
You never have a scrollist.
I'm from New Scroll.
Greg Miller's going to fucking jerk off to Bridgerton.
I think it's important to point out in the chat that Eric in the live chat watching said that the Skrulls did know that 3-year-old Greg Miller was worth impersonating, though.
Listen, maybe it's like it. Nick Fury's wife, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
She wasn't anything special, right? Or was she? I don't know if she was a doctor. That Skrull was just like going room to room, like, I need to take somebody's life.
Yeah.
How did they explain that?
We haven't even gotten to the doctor.
Doctor's like, all right, I'm sorry, you're a terminal patient and you're gonna die real soon, and he like leaves the room, and then like some lady's just taking her away, like, don't worry. Bump into her on the street 5 years later, you're supposed to be fucking dead as a doornail.
Shh, Skrull.
I'm glad that Cooper heard the bit of the Watto in that. Hey. Nick Fury's wife's like, hey, I'm a Skrull.
Holy hell, everybody.
I'm telling you, I got it today, boys.
Chris Bowers also did the scores for upcoming or Haunted Mansion, which just came out, The Color Purple, that's coming out at the end of this year, but also Space Jam A New Legacy. He replaced Hans Zimmer there, so a similar story, Craig.
Yeah, but, you know, DJ and Junkie XL, he really brought the thunder.
Yeah.
What's the name?
DJ Junkie XL.
You keep saying DJ and Junkie.
DJ Junkie XL.
I keep hearing DJ and Junkie.
Yeah, sometimes, every once in a while. He likes to keep you on your toes.
Multiple people.
Well, Hans Zimmer there too.
Okay. The more important thing I want to bring up.
He's got the little composer stick and he's doing this. And DJ XL. Yeah. You know?
Chris Bauer
was like, what can I jack off to?
I mean, but like, season 1, man. They're eating out.
You know, less is more with this conversation at this point.
I'm here.
Like, the punchline was made. I don't know that we need this set.
He brought me back to it. He brought me back to the scene of the crime. What do you want me to do? I'll talk about it. And the dude's whole thing is he didn't want to jizz in her. That was a plot point. And then she forced him to and he got so mad.
Yeah, he got mad.
Tim,
is it the same actor?
Tim, reel them back in, please.
Kingsley?
Yeah. Kingsley Benadire?
What? Yeah, I think he was in that, wasn't he?
Is that why? No, I brought up Bridgerton.
Yeah.
He's the Bridgerton guy, right?
No, is he?
It's also Gravik.
Gravik is the guy who didn't want to jizz.
Composition sing. From the sound guy was the same guy that did Bridgerton. But
yes.
I will look it up and see what it
is. Yeah, but it is, right? Yeah.
I think you're right. But
Gravik in Secret Invasion, I'm pretty sure, is in Bridgerton. I haven't seen Bridgerton.
Oh, you got to watch it, man.
It'd be a fun little coincidence.
Oh, man, there's a whole subplot where he isn't one.
You'll never guess who the Bridgerton woman is.
All right. Well, people are... No, it's not the same guy.
Yeah. It's not the same guy.
What's Kingsley Benadire in then?
Barbie.
Yes, but he's also in something else.
Oa? The Oa?
King Arthur, Legend of the Sword.
Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders.
High Fidelity.
Oh, you know what? Peaky Blinders is probably what I'm thinking of. Anyway, you know what? I don't even know what we're talking about here. We're talking about freaking Secret Invasion, all right? I'm talking about Chris Bowers, who I just wanted to give a shout out. Also did a lot of work on Watch the Throne, the seminal album from Jay-Z and Kanye West. So shout out to him. Moving on from that, though, this is a weird one. I almost don't even want to start off in this, but we're just done. We got to call it what it is. The budget for this show, $200 million.
Money well spent.
Framing that in perspective, Guardians 3 was $250 million.
Oh.
Barbie was $200 million.
Oh.
Like, Oppenheimer was $100 million.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, but I just feel there's a lot of names in that.
A lot of names. And
is it true that Jake and or Josh is in it?
Drake and or Josh. And it's only Josh Peck.
Is he in it?
Josh Peck.
Oh, I saw that TikTok. I was like, this can't be real.
It's real. It's real.
Jacob and Josh.
God damn. All right. Let's try to get this just a little bit more back on track. I want to start with Andy Cortez. What did you think of Secret Invasion as a whole and any specifics you want to call out?
What bothers me the most about this show is that Disney is now going to say, look, these movies these shows are a waste of money and budget. These people don't like these shows. When really it's just like, I'm thinking of the sniper, Barry Pepper from
Barry Pepper.
Yeah. A severe misallocation of funds because, like, there's no reason the show should be $200 million. And it's like just a bad idea total. Like I feel like they had an idea of what they wanted this show to do and to say. And they're like, well, we can't really make a whole movie out of it, but we need to get these plot points across. Let's just do a show for Secret Invasion. And then like, I feel like it just got away from them and the budget just kept on bloating and bloating. And they kept on maybe thinking that they had something when they really didn't. This was just like a boring time, and especially setting up expectations that just never really fully, like, I never felt satisfied about any of the outcomes in this show. And this is just, you know, I guess Guardians 3 kind of is going to, you know, show that maybe there isn't so much of a downwards trend, because every once in a while you have a hit, but this gives me very, very little faith for whatever the future is from here on out. And again, what pisses me off the most is that, like, not only is this going to review really badly, I think, right? Like, I saw Rotten Tomatoes having a really, really terrible score, but they're going to look at that budget amount and never want to put that money towards a show again, when really it's like, this was just a bad show to have all that money for.
Disney, they've been talking about it though, right? Or like, we think we might have stretched this too thin. Like, I don't know if they'll...
Bob Iger said that after the fact. Yeah, but...
That fucking piece of shit.
But I feel like Bob Iger said that only because the movies haven't been doing well ratings-wise. Like... I feel like if all the stuff they've been putting out was doing great and selling money, who gives a shit how much money they're spending on these things? But they're seeing that fans weren't super happy with Thor: Love and Thunder and Quantumania, and now Secret Invasion comes out, and just I think it was just like a massive disappointment for me. Especially the way the first couple episodes start off, I have a little bit of hope of what this can be, and I just feel like any reveal that happened didn't really... like resonate with me, and I feel like
Emilia Clarke's little Drax arm. You don't like that?
Oh man, it's just this is like the perfect kind of example. This is like the perfect example of how bad these shows can get when you are going so formulaic with the big bad fight at the end. It's like, wow, you are kind of being the cliche that you don't want to be, and what a massive disappointment. I hated this,
Gregory.
Hi, how are you?
What'd you think of this one?
Yeah, everything Andy said, right? It's a disappointment. I didn't think it was like an offensive disappointment, right? Like I am not one, as you know, to go home and watch a lot of stuff. Like that's, I want to play as soon as I can. And so after I watched episode one, I then took multiple days off, and then I was like, oh shit, we're getting close. Sat down and put them on and played, you know, DC Heroes and Villains, the match 3 game on my phone while
imagine
I watched.
You took time off of work, like,
I got to rest up. Rest up. And I watched, there's 6 of them, right? Mm-hmm. So if I'm good at math, that means I watched 3 in a row right there. And I was like, okay. And that was an enjoyable enough evening or whatever, but they weren't my sole focus. I did emails and stuff during it and yada, yada, yada. And so then to last night jump in and get the last 2 there, that then left a worse taste in my mind. There's parts I like about it, right? Like more Nick Fury, always cool, always fun. I thought the whole thing with him and his wife being a Skrull, I would have loved if the show was way more of just that, them sitting there and having conversations, right? When they both shot wide, I thought that was poetic. That was cool, you know what I mean? But then, like, I feel damage to things I already liked in the MCU, right? Like in Captain Marvel, I liked Ben Mendelsohn's Skrull, right? I liked Talos.
Talos.
Talos. Talos. Talos. I liked Ben Mendelsohn's Skrull. who has no name. I appreciated that character in the journey in Captain Marvel. So to get him back here, I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. And then it's him and Nick arguing. Like, I don't know. And then he's got this relationship with the daughter that I just don't buy. Amelia Clark never seemed like, I never bought that she was this younger Skrull. It didn't work for me. Her playing both sides didn't work for me. The mom, not like being in the show at all. I kept waiting. Oh, she's going to pop up.
I can't believe it.
She's going to do something. It's like, she's just
referenced
not,
in every episode.
And we're going to get a flashback, really, of her dying. Okay.
Like, one of the only two Skrulls we knew from the previous movies killed off screen.
And so it was like that. And then like, the roadie stuff where I was like, I was like, I'm watching it last night. And I'm like, how long has he been out? I'm like, that kind of checks. I'm like, no. And I'm like, this is
Civil War.
This man has been gone since Civil War and a Skrull has been there, which could be one of the coolest plot points of all time. If I watched back and I was like, yo, look at the little hints they gave and how Rhodey wasn't being Rhodey when he mourned Tony, when he talked to anybody Nebula. In the Avengers, when he did like Tony Stank, any of that stuff. Like, look at all the, like, no.
The conversation with Anthony Mackie in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm. Anywhere in there, right? But no, he was totally fine there and then just was fucking everything up here. Like, even going as far to call Fury Nick, like, you would know this. This is like, you know, this is a common thing that nobody calls Nick Fury Nick or Nicholas or whatever. That's like what gives you Skrulls away all the time. How do you not know this? I don't know. And so then it, like that, I was like, oh, when I found that out, I Googled it. I was like, no way, really? And they're like, they've confirmed it, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fucking bullshit. So it's like, the show overall is a huge miss. Like, you don't need to watch it. And that's a heartbreaker.
Yeah, when I was thinking about the stakes of what that means for Rhodey as a character, I thought, oh, shit, he's been dead this whole time. That's crazy. Like, they took his brain or whatever, the fucking thing. Like, so, and I should have known he was still alive in that little captive area. But the fact that he was still alive just kind of, like, erased something I really kind of didn't care about. Which, like, it was just a weird feeling of, like, seeing him alive at the end, like, oh, so Rhodey's actually not dead. What happened in this show then? Like, I don't think there's any way in hell they're going to let Amelia Clark just run wild with all these powers. How does that go into the future of the MCU? Like, you all are setting some shit up that I feel like you're not going to be able to hold back. Or you're not going to be able to write off and ignore. Like, you're going to be forced into this sort of... Well, how about we call Amelia Clark's character? Ah, dude, she's busy on another planet or whatever. Like, I'm just like annoyed by it, man.
Yeah.
Nicholas.
I loved it. No. I feel the same way you guys feel. Unfortunately, this show was very boring for me to the point where it was actually very difficult for me to even pay attention to it. And I hate saying that, but there was multiple times where they were saying things and I had to rewind it back to just be like, what's going on with this? And some of it was just the fact that I found the plot and the character is very boring. And some of it is that just very sloppily made show. It's poorly edited. It's poorly written. It doesn't make a lot of sense when things start laying out as to why characters should do what they're doing. And that's what I think adds a lot to my boredom with it, which I'm like, I don't know where we're going with this really cool concept. With the exception of Olivia Colman, who I think is incredible.
Incredible.
And she's incredible. Right.
Great performance.
Because... she's having fun and it's fun to watch her, and she's a weird kind of scary fucked up version of what Fury used to be back in the day before he lost a step. That was really cool. I was like, oh, it's gonna be like a buddy. There's one point where they're together. I was like, oh, it's gonna be like a buddy cop adventure with Olivia Colman and Fury, and then we just don't get that. A lot of this was an unfortunate disappointment, and partially because and I don't want to go too far into this, Mike loaned me the comics. Just the, I guess the eight issue run.
Snowmike Mike?
Yeah. Mike has everything. He owns so many different things. He gave me Secret Invasion, volumes 1 through 8, and along with the Secret Invasion saga, which was like a catch up on World of Skrull War. I read 5 pages into the saga book. I was like, nope, just going to start 1 through 8. Got 6 in last night. I was like, wow, that's what this was.
Could have been.
Yeah. What a fantastic idea for a two movies back to back, like an Infinity War and Endgame. And we just, I guess, are not getting that, right? Are we ever getting more of this?
Probably not like this, at least. Not that's Secret Invasion, but
that's it's really disappointing because that concept is such a high concept and it's really, really cool. And I think they could have executed that well, especially with a $220 million budget. And it just it didn't come together. I didn't like where we found Fury. I thought I didn't, for the first time in my life, I felt myself being like, wow, I hope Samuel L. Jackson doesn't really want to come back to this role after this, because I don't think he did a great job being Nick Fury in this, with admittedly the poor material they gave him. And I thought the stuff with the wife was just confounding at best. I wasn't quite sure how it all kind of came down. Wasn't quite sure where they were. Does he ever see her? Even when he was on Earth, did he ever see her? What was the relationship here? And I just don't think they fleshed that out much for me. Ultimately, yeah, it's a pretty big disappointment. Tim, yeah. What did you think?
I think disappointment's the best word to use here, and that it's very unfortunate. Obviously, I really want to like these things. I care about these characters, this world, the comics so much. And I enjoyed watching the show week to week a lot until I didn't really. Having said that, from day one, didn't watch it at midnight. And I think that that really kind of says a lot, that Tim Geddes isn't watching these things at midnight. I'm watching them when I get to it or in the morning, whatever. And I, no matter what the cliffhanger was, I wasn't compelled to be like, I need to know now. And that's unfortunate, because I think at the end of the day, as much as I was enjoying it week to week, never loving it, but like, hey, this is pretty cool. There's things I like. I do think that anytime it's just two characters talking, I thought the writing was really good. And I thought that the dialogue between them was impactful and like deep and made the characters more fleshed out in ways that I like to see the MCU do. But then anything that wasn't that kind of just felt very messy and just very kind of like, all right, we're building to this thing. No, we're not. Or we're building to that. No, we're not. Or I hope we're not building to this. Oh, we are. And then it hit a point where the constant cliffhangers, the constant fake out deaths or real deaths kind of lost the luster, where it's like, I don't care if this person dies or not. And I almost feel like at any moment they can come back, because they can just say, oh, they came back because of this, or they actually were a Skrull, or they actually were using that Mission Impossible mask that, like, you can just
the
look widow, whatever.
What are they called? The Widow's Veil or something?
Yeah,
like
the Widow's Veil. So much cool stuff. And cool, on that sense, me loving the lore, loving the references, loving the, like, you know, the 90s, and then it's like, oh my God, this is taking place here, this is taking place there, with the using the movies. I love that stuff, and like finding all the files of the heroes and villains on the computers and seeing their names and seeing those powers get used. I love that
stuff. The idea of the Harvest, a very cool
so cool. But I think my biggest problem with it is that overall the goal of the show, whether it's adapting the comic, which clearly we've seen the MCU adapt so many things, and Civil War wasn't Civil War. I loved Civil War though.
Yeah.
Secret Invasion, I knew it wasn't going to be the comics. The comics are very good, but like, I knew it wasn't going to be that. Mm-hmm. But I knew it was going to be a political thriller, espionage, spy thing, and it didn't do that well.
No.
And I also knew it was going to be a Nick Fury show, and it didn't do that well. And I'm like, that's the problem. I'm like, oh, you didn't actually do any of the things either I wanted or expected well. So it just kind of leaves me bummed out. A couple fun moments. I did enjoy some of the reveals. I seem to be in the minority on this, but I think that the last episode's easily the best episode. I also think it wasn't earned. I also think it leaves things in a very bad place with Emilia Clarke's character. I wish that she died somehow or whatever.
You don't like this one Super Skrull? Just having has everyone's
every
powers,
power, including Thanos and Captain Marvel. It's a little
there's the arm, baby. Look at that Drax arm.
I always say shit like this, and I stand by it. Like, yes, this looks stupid in an image. Yes, it looks stupid in motion. It's a fucking Super Skrull where you're changing an arm. This is how it would look. This is how it looks in the comics. This is what it is.
There's no way to make it look good.
This fight was awesome, I think. Them changing between the powers, identifying, holy shit, that's Ghost Thing. Oh, they're doing the, not Proxima Midnight. What's his fucking name? Ebony Maw.
Yeah.
That stuff, like all of that. Mantis with the, it's like, this is cool. This is what I'd want to see from a Super Skrull concept that's taken more from just the Fantastic Four powers to our MCU heroes' powers. They fucking did it, and it was cool. And although it was a mirror match fight to end the series,
exciting.
I liked it. I thought that it was a surprising end that I didn't expect to see from this show. And I was like, oh, there's some shit going on. But then it ends in a way where I'm like, I don't like that I'm asking questions that I know they're not going to answer. Like, I know I'm not going to be satisfied with Emilia Clarke's character and like how they deal with it.
Whatever
future.
The result is from that.
Yeah.
Do you ever think you see her again?
That's another question. Camera. Do we see her? Do we see Hercules? Do we see the fucking Star Fox from Harry Styles? Like, there's all these characters that they're just kind of like leaving.
I was like, wait, was Hercules and Harry Styles in this?
Hercules is in Thor: Love and Thunder. There's just these characters that I don't know that we'll ever see again. And to that point, I feel like this show, more than anything we've seen in the MCU thus far, but retroactively looking at Phase 4 and 5, it really is the era of comics that I like least, Greg, where we did the whole build up, we got to the event. Now it's all, you don't need to read everything. If you do, you'll be rewarded and it'll mostly make sense and it'll mostly connect. But if you really care, you're going to get upset. Like, it's not going to add up. Even though they said the sky is blue here, the sky is red now. You just got to kind of deal with it, even though all the other facts are correct.
I know one of my most annoying things about the MCU in general, I'll say, is that I can't believe we're this deep into the MCU. And granted, I know years have gone by and yada yada. But there's ways to do this that I can't believe we haven't established. Here's who the president of the United States is. This is the president, you know.
It's Dermot Mulroney.
They have something to do with the Sokovia Accords, this, that, the other, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just like we had the one dude from Shawshank Redemption.
Have you seen the wedding date?
Yeah, I have.
Thoughts on that, Tim?
I don't know.
We had the one guy who was the, you know, from Shawshank Redemption in Iron Man 3. Then now we got Dylan
Mulroney.
Mulroney.
I think it's Dermot Mulroney.
So that's the thing. So positive, negative on this for me. I don't even know where I stand.
Where's Elaine from Seinfeld?
Is a lot of my potential, like, the obvious theories of clearly this is going to happen, clearly that's going to happen. I thought that Harrison Ford, Thunderbolt Ross cameo was assured. I thought that the president was going to die at the end of this, and we're going to get a end or post credit stinger that was just
it
like.
It definitely seemed like he was about to be a Skrull, right?
And all that, but like I feel like I can't believe we didn't get at least a mention of like, all right, the president's dead. That means the next president is. We just get a picture, Thunderbolt Ross, but it's Harrison Ford. Cool, we can now put it together. That's what's happening. But I'll say I'm actually way more interested in what happened here of the president not being a Skrull, not dying. And freaking having the scariest, worst announcement on TV ever of like, we're going to kill all these motherfuckers. And watching the finale, there was three different things about it that I was like, I don't like this at all. And then there was a twist. I'm like, you know what? If I could like it. The way Nick Fury went in was coughing all the shit. I'm like, clearly there's some plan here, but like, this is so stupid. There's no way I'm going to be satisfied with this. And then when it was Emilia Clarke and she had all the powers, I went, okay.
You didn't think it was her?
No, I knew they were going to have an answer, but like with how they did it, I was satisfied. I was like, I like this and I'm cool with it. And, I forget what the other one was, but the president's speech, I was like, this is so ridiculous. I can't believe that they're going through with it. And then when Nick called him out, like, bro, you can't be doing that. I was like, all right, cool. I like that because the scene of what the president said, inciting violence and us seeing people, normal people, vigilantes, how quick that happened of going just fucking
gunning down somebody doing a speech or whatever,
assassinating.
They were right a bunch of times wrong. That one
some
time
were scrolls,
one
some
woman.
Were not scrolls. All that stuff. I'm like, yo, this is amazing, and this is real. This is World War III, worse than the Russia War. This is an actual world war for the MCU we know. But is it ever going to get dealt with?
Yeah, no, exactly. Marvel's is not going to start with Nick Fury be like, we really fucked up that Skrull situation. America's in turmoil. Blah blah blah.
But fingers crossed, Captain America 4 and Thunderbolts actually address this.
That hand
is
still in the water.
About.
The big old hand.
The big hand.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna address that. But anyway, that's this is gonna rank very, very low for me.
Yeah, and I think my biggest issue was that I was feeling like the show was based on how the show was kind of trending, I was like, you know what? I think this is gonna be a show that's gonna be a bit of a slow burn. It's gonna get better towards the end, and it's gonna have a banger of a finale. And it started off like kind of mid, got a bit better, and then just stayed kind of mid, and then just ended in with a complete wet fart. It just really bummed me out last night. And this is going to rank pretty low for me as well.
Yeah, it's unfortunate too, because I was hopeful for this, because espionage shows tend to be a little easier to produce, given that you can shoot they're largely just people in places, right? They don't have to rely so heavily on the VFX. And so I was assuming they would build tension in this. Like, it doesn't help that this kind of dropped at the same time as one of my other favorite shows, Jack Ryan, on Amazon Prime. I have not watched season 4 yet, but I enjoyed those shows, and I think those shows do a very good job of campily building real political tension by putting these groups again. And it tends to be like a whodunit, like mystery of like, what's going on? What group's behind this? What are we doing? This and that. And we just got really...
There was no mystery
here. No mystery. No, not at all.
And it was the thing of like, in the beginning when Everett Ross dies and he's a Skrull, you're like, okay, cool. I mean, I kind of figured that when we're doing Secret Invasion, whatever. And then for like Rhodey, like that should have been awesome that he was revealed to be a Skrull. And you're like, all right.
Yeah, but but here's the problem. Right? And again, I think this comes back to just the way this whole thing was written and conceived is like when the first time we see Rhodey and he's just being a fucking dick, I was like, oh, he's got to be a Skrull.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. thanks for telegraphing that from a mile away. There's
it's so bad that it's so obvious he's a Skrull. Then when it's revealed he's a Skrull, and then when an episode later Olivia Colman doesn't know he's a Skrull, and Nick Fury has to tell her, I'm like, are you fucking stupid?
Yeah.
Like, it's, everyone knows.
You're bad at your job.
I want to keep grasping at straws, though. So has Marvel said that it's Civil War or Rhodey? Because my hope would be you wear a hospital gown all the time. We're all jumping in.
I got you here. So the writer of the show did an interview today and like didn't explicitly say it and like kind of teed it up in a way. He explicitly said it, but then teed it up in a way of like, but people can change and like people can make it whatever they want later if they needed to. But he did say he's wearing the same gown that he was wearing in Civil War and his legs aren't working. So okay. Do the math.
Fix it in Armor Wars.
So here's the thing. Potentially, there's a really cool story for Rhodey in Armor Wars, where not only is this a man that is had his body taken over for a whole bunch of years, also missed out on the blip, and also missed out on the world changing, so many of his friends dying. There's a really interesting story there of him now being in this world and having to deal with that. Are they going to do that, though?
But that's the problem. It's like, they got Don Cheadle. He can pull that off. Mm-hmm. He's a great actor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's a really good actor. So, yeah, I hope so. I hope they can.
The funniest tweet I saw over the weekend was a picture of Captain America now. It was never Captain Falcon, but Captain America now, Shang-Chi, and Shuri
mm-hmm.
from Black Panther. And it was like, the new Avengers movie will be led by these. Like, these are the three new leaders of the Avengers. And somebody retweeted it, Lakers in five. Still like even the Lakers can beat this team, you know? Like, and it's like, man, I feel like we have just lost so much of the magic. Like, watching this show, as much as I love Samuel Jackson, it's kind of mostly that I love Samuel Jackson acting with Robert Downey Jr. and Samuel Jackson mm-hmm. acting with Chris Evans and the whole squad. Like,
it was another thing too.
It's a combination of both of those things. So just seeing Samuel Jackson alone, I was like, maybe it was never quite Nick Fury that made the magic.
It's
for me.
The idea too, though, right? Of like Nick Fury in all the other movies. Was once a step ahead of everybody.
Yeah, that's fun to watch.
Everybody. And then the one he wasn't was Far From Home, and then it was revealed he was a Skrull at the end. And I was like, oh, that's really cool, because he didn't act the same way, Don Cheadle and everything else, right? But this one, I never felt like Nick Fury was one step ahead, and I never felt like I'm too dumb to know he's one step, you know what I mean? Like, oh, he's doing something. He's on to, it was just like, no, next year is just doing it.
There's a lot that I want to get into with this stuff, but I feel like we should get into plot, and then we can talk about some of the specific things. You guys cool with that?
Sure.
But before we do that, here's a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by PayPal Honey, the easy way to save when shopping on your iPhone or computer. Did you know it only takes a few seconds to get it? That means if you go to add it to your laptop or iPhone right now, you could be done before this ad read is even over. And you know what else works fast? Honey's deal finding abilities. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. When you check out, the Honey button appears. All you have to do is click apply coupons. You wait a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that, and then if it finds a working coupon, you will find the prices drop. We've saved thousands of dollars thanks to Honey, buying costumes, props, tech over the years. Honestly, not using Honey is just silly. Honey doesn't just work on desktop, it works on your iPhone too. Just activate it on Safari on your phone and you get to save on the go. Getting Honey seriously only takes a few seconds, and by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this show. You can get PayPal Honey for free at joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. That's joinhoney.com/kindoffunny. This episode's brought to you by Shady Rays. Take on the sun with gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered for the warm weather ahead with premium polarized shades at an affordable price, durable frames, and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures just like Mike likes them. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. And every purchase supports the Shady Rays Impact Program, which works directly with nonprofits and their communities to empower and make adventure accessible for all walks of life, from childhood cancer patients to young adults with serious health conditions. Exclusively for y'all listening right now, Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the season. Go to ShadyRays.com and use code KINDAFUNNY for 50% off 2+ pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself. The shades rated 5 stars by over 250,000 people. Again, that's ShadyRays.com. Use code KINDAFUNNY. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. We all know life can be hard. It's so easy to get caught up in what everyone else needs from you and never take a moment to think about what you need from yourself. I know from experience how often it just seems easier to care about others and keep it moving. But when we spend all of our time giving, it can leave us feeling stretched thin and burned out. Therapy can give you the tools to find more balance in your life so you can keep supporting others without leaving yourself behind. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. For more balance with BetterHelp, visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Secret Invasion, damn. This show is really bland. Secret Invasion, man.
A while back, Tim, you said something to the effect of, not in this show, but on another show we did together, that if you had, not a lot of people were watching this or not everybody was super into it, so you could watch this in review and it could just be the Cliff Notes for you and you could just be done. And so at that point, all you need to know is Rhodey is a Skrull and has been since Civil War. Mm-hmm. And there was a little boy named Gravik who's a Skrull, and he was pissy about fucking shit forever because Nick Fury said he'd get him a new planet and then he didn't. So then he's going to ruin our planet, but they beat him and that's the end of that. And none of it would matter. That's it. That's that.
I don't agree.
That would be the Greg. That would be the Greg story right there for plot. If it was a traditional, you know, for the shows, we read the wiki because there's so many episodes. If I was summarizing it, I would do that and cross my arms and walk off set because that's what it is. You need to know something about this, Rhodey. That's the only thing you gotta know. We're never coming back to this fucking president. We're never seeing Emilia Clarke again.
Sure. We're seeing the president, 100%.
Did I just fucking say that?
The wedding date.
I said something about the president didn't matter. Emilia Clarke, we're never seen again.
I mean, but I just don't know how they're going to do it.
I think that's too big of a thing you can't address in the future.
I think it's too big of a thing to then address. Hey, I am still here, guys. What the fuck are we doing with you? Are you going to help us?
Again, just looking at the roadmap of the movies, it gets kind of tough. But, like, she's teaming up with Olivia Colman, who is a world power. We're about to be dealing with a brave new world. You know what I mean?
I need everybody in the comments who has ever watched a little show called Better Call Saul to be like, damn. Better Call Saul would sometimes tease out for 3 or 4 episodes that Jimmy McGill, Saul Goodman, Bob Odenkirk was slow playing, slow burning a plan this whole time. And you'd be drip fed like, oh, what's this? Oh, he's working on that. Oh, he's adding to that thing that we saw. What's going on? And then you'd get this crazy thing that it turns out he was doing this whole time. You're like, fuck, dude. Like Greg was just mentioning, this dude is so ahead of all of us. This dude is just light years ahead of our thinking right now. He's so smart. And I totally agree with you, Greg. Like you mentioning, I wanted to feel like we were watching a master espionage dude, Nick Fury, doing some shit that we never expected. And there was just no creativity in it.
There's a couple times where he played dumb and, you know, distracted people, put the little thing on Owl McOwley or whatever. And like, all right, that was neat, but it wasn't like...
Oh, I mean, I think that's like so
elegant. And then he gets to the end and he's just calling the president and acting like they're bros. I'm like, I don't know about this conversation happening, you know? I understand you're Nick Fury. Again, one of them should have turned into a Skrull there. Fury or the president.
Either one. Man,
come on, do something.
They both shoot again, each other, they're both Skrulls.
Hey, well, when he was delivering the message, the president, right, and I fucked the plot. When you're delivering the message, I was definitely like, oh, well, clearly there was another Skrull faction, or this is, I missed something, and this is going to turn out to be old Gravik or what. No.
I like it being a human more. It goes back.
If they do something cool with
it,
if we come back to a fucked up world because of it, awesome.
Yes, yes. There's a line in the finale.
Kamala Khan ain't going to say shit about
this. But even then, like just taking of like what it was in this show. The show promised a world war, and they gave us a world war. Like, the end result of all this, and Fury just fucking, Fury like loses and leaves, essentially. It's like what this comes down to with this show, which I do think is semi-interesting if you're just looking at the show and not thinking about other projects coming after. But there's a line in the finale that I really liked that was Fury, but it was actually Gaia, saying to Gravik, like, it's easier to save 8 billion people than it is to change their hearts and minds. And like that, to me, combined with this world war where it was the threat of Russia and America having all their problems, but now it's this so beyond that where everyone's turning on everything, tensions are higher than they've ever been because of the blip and then also because of these aliens. That shit, I think, is very interesting, and it's an interesting end place. It's just, I'm with you that I don't have full faith that it's going to be done well in the future.
We still need to do a show about the blip, a little anthology series about like what people and things and fun stories that came out of the blip. Not fun, but you know what I mean.
But I mean, that's exactly like the Falcon and Winter Soldier thing. It sucks because the ideas and concepts presented there of like people being displaced and what that means, yeah, and that the world there, so interesting, and then it just kind of like they didn't do anything with it in the show. Then doesn't feel like that's the world that they're in.
They had a big party. Remember, we had a party down and Bucky brought a cake,
right?
We'll start with episode one, Resurrection. Of course, we're reading from the book of Wikipedia in Moscow. Talos pursues Everett K. Ross for killing CIA agent Prescod, who theorized that shape-shifting Skrull rebels, frustrated with Talos and Nick Fury, have not found them a new home planet, intended to incite a war between Russia and the United States to take over Earth. Maria Hill arrives to assist Ross, but discovers that he is a Skrull. She calls Fury, who has been working in space for years following the blip. Returning, and again, then throughout this fucking show, they just keeps telling us over and over and over again, he's not the same Nick Fury.
Yeah.
But he kind of is, but he's not.
But he kind of is. And that's the thing is, like, again, the reason I enjoyed the show so much in the beginning, or as much as I did, so much is wrong, but is you see Fury and he gets to Earth and he's walking, he's limping a little, and they keep it. You're
gravity.
You used to be five steps ahead. Now you're a little behind all this stuff. And I feel like that is interesting. And I would have loved some reveal of him being like, gotcha, motherfuckers. Like, yeah. I've been trying to make you think this the whole time. And that just wasn't the case.
And Martin Freeman the whole time was just like, listen, dude, we have to kill these Skrulls. I'm American with my American accent.
This is my perfect American accent.
Returning to Earth, Fury learns that Talos has been exiled from the Skrull Council and replaced by former ally Gravik, the Rebels' leader. Fury.
Cool to see Shooter McGavin as a Skrull.
Shooter. That was cool. Yeah.
Love, I just love seeing that guy work.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You know he's going to give you gold.
Yeah, every time.
Love seeing him work.
Fury is kidnapped by MI6 agents working for his old acquaintance, Sonya Fallsworth. Who refuses to work with Fury to stop Gravik. Amazing performance from Olivia.
Mm-hmm.
So much fun here. I like her in everything she's in.
I love the line where he says they just like fantastically renditioned me. And she goes, oh, did you guys finally get to that level of fantasticness? I didn't think you had it in you or something like that. I'm like, give her more screen time.
So many of her lines are great, dude.
I want to see her go off against Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I just shocked she didn't in this, but yeah.
Using a bug to eavesdrop on her, Fury and Talos locate the Skrulls who procured dirty bombs from the rebels, including Talos' daughter Gaia. After Talos reveals that her mother Sorin was killed by the rebels,
so much of this bothers the shit out of me, dude.
I bet you there was such a plan to have that.
I mean, so I was convinced from episode one that Gravik was actually Sorin, the wife. Because we don't ever see Gravik transform until way later into the series. And it's like, oh, there's some shit going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they kept bringing up Talos' wife, Sorin, who is the Maria Hill Skrull from Far From Home. Like, we know this woman. She's killed off screen here. They keep talking about the seed that's, like, going to plant the life, like, whatever, and how much she loved that shit. It's just like, yo, she's mad at Talos and, like, the whole relationship with Guy and all this stuff. It really just felt like they needed Emilia Clarke to be in the show. Because she's a name. And so they're like, oh, let's kill the mom just so we can have the daughter. And it just did not work for me.
After Talos reveals that her mother, Sorin, was killed by the rebels, Gaia reveals the rebels' plans to attack Vossen Square and Unity Day. Yeah. Fury, Ill, and Talos fail to intercept the bombs before Gravik detonates them.
This is where I start asking questions. Mm-hmm. And again, I think there's explanations that you could say, right? Is she conflicted? So she's sort of helping her dad here, but she's not helping her dad here.
Well, she found out about mom, man. She flipped. That's how much she cared about this.
That's what it is? Okay.
Dude,
Sorry, follow-up question. Go ahead. Not just tell everyone where these people are hiding.
So many questions of why not just kill this guy?
She was there in the very first episode.
Why didn't Grabbing ever just killed Fury? Why?
Because he needed the harvest. That was the answer. But Andy, that's a stupid answer.
Yeah, that's boring, right? It's boring to be like, I need superpowers. You know what's more, you know what's scary? Someone who's playing two massive superpowers against each other, Russia and the United States. I thought the whole thing was like
bacon guy.
We're going to figure it out. They're going to have to launch. Because I think that at one point they say the radiation doesn't bother them. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's a perfect. You just nuke the entire world. And then
that's the plan, right?
Good idea. But is it? I don't know. It was like,
I
thought it was just to get the two. I guess they're going to go war together, but I needed to see like launch silos and like nuclear missiles.
You did?
About to go.
They had them.
Did we?
Yeah. The last episode had missiles going up. Yeah.
The
plan though. Oh, yeah. Sorry, was start right. Nuclear warfare.
The submarine.
All the nuclear fallout kills all of us. We get some rad roaches and then they own the war.
Solid call. Sorry. Yes.
This whole final sequence gave me the most hope for the show of episode one of all of the, I mean, just the stuff that we talk about, I love Mission Impossible, two people tailing each other. Who's right, who's wrong, who's on whose side, who's going to double cross. And the amount of times that Gravik switches in this scene and it's changing from person to person. Like, this is like where I'm like, oh, actually, this is going to be a really good show. And I'm super into it.
In that episode, when he does that, they're all people Fury had seen earlier in that episode. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, this is pretty
like
cool.
This Gravik guy is a million steps ahead of you, Fury. You've always been ahead of the game. And this guy's even five steps ahead of that. And then Maria Hill just gets the gat.
In the ensuing chaos, Gravik disguises himself as Fury and kills Hill.
Bummer.
Yeah.
Sorry,
okay, Maria Hill. Not important. Not an important character.
Colby will miss you.
She's one of the few people they can afford to show up in everything, though. Now we'll be showing up in everything.
I love Maria Hill and I love Colby Smulders. Like, I was like, what the fuck? Or did that's how she's done? She's just done?
Yeah, it seems
or
like
she's done with Maria Hill? Okay, cool.
Did it seem
guess
like
she's not inheriting that helicarrier?
It's been mothballed anyway.
When she gets killed off, it really just kind of makes me think that, all right, we need another star in this role. We need somebody else that we can slot into whatever her guy in the chair was sort of role. You know what I mean? Like
whatever happened to Peggy's niece?
Oh yeah,
who should have been a fucking Skrull because she acted completely out of character.
Oh, she's the weapons person, right? Yeah. Right.
She's helping out the
power broker. All right, weapons arbiter is Chris Anka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My apologies.
Forgot about that show.
Number two, promises. In 1997, Fury recruits several Skrull refugees, including a young orphaned Gravik, in exchange for helping them find a new home planet. In the present, Talos reveals to Fury that a million Skrulls are living on Earth. This is a fun conversation. Again, back to your point, Tim, of any one-on-one conversation, and again, I'm getting what I like here of Ben Mendelsohn, Samuel Jackson. They're on a train. He decides himself as a woman at one point. They have the whole thing. Tell me something I don't know. My mom and I used to play this on the train. That was fun. I like
it. Was great. Again, that's character stuff, man. It's so good, and I feel like that's where the show kind of shines, and it shines. Like it's not all bad. It's just surrounded by.
Of course, this leads to them breaking up. This is in your little Wikipedia thing. And, Ben Mendelsohn gets off the train or whatever. As the U.S. is implicated in the bombing, Gravik meets with the Skrull Council and gains the majority support to lead the Skrulls in a new war. Another scene I really liked.
Dude.
Peter McGavin, everybody else, bending the knee, turning in little Skrull ears out to go bow down.
Love it, man. There's a real palpable sense of tension where it's like, oh, fuck, the world leaders, people that control media, people that control like all this shit, they're Skrulls. They're bad people. They're all in on this. They might have been in on this for a very long time. We don't know. And they are actively trying to make it look like America's fucking Russia. I loved that stuff. It's like, God, this is cool as hell. And I can understand it as a dum-dum.
It's not to throw another analog at you. This is sort of ripped from The Sum of All Fears, which is another Tom Clancy movie.
The bomb is in play.
Right.
Ben Affleck.
The idea being that, and I'll get some of these hazy, but the idea being that a Russian-made bomb was going to blow up in Baltimore, and then they were going to think, oh, the Russians were starting this, but it was actually a neo-Nazi fascist group that was, like, coming up from Germany, they basically just wanted to put them, in collision with each other. Done so much better there. terrifying there. Terrifying to the fact that, like, game. It was a baseball game. And the bomb actually goes off, which is crazy.
Is this the one Ben Affleck's in?
Yes.
Yeah. The bomb is in play, remember?
I'll never forget the trailer for it where he would go, it wasn't the Russians!
Yeah.
That was, like, one of the lines he says. That was, like, always in the trailer that always played.
But there's...
He says the bomb is in play in it, too.
Oh.
He does. How's he say it, Sam?
The bomb is in play!
But there's a wonderful moment when they're trying
to figure
this out.
Kevin, if you could get that from the trailer for me, that'd be great. Some of all fears, Ben Affleck, the bomb is in play.
The Russians get that line too.
They're trying to figure it out, and there's just this moment of chaos at the end where it's like James Cromwell playing the president, he's got the cut, and he just breaks. He's like, what are we going to, his like chief of staff's like, what are we going to, I don't fucking know. Like, I don't know. And it's this crazy moment where they're on Air Force One, and they're about to launch the fucking nukes, and
man,
it's so fucking,
tonight,
it's
bro.
So tense. And at no point did we ever get that tension here with me. And that's what I wanted. I wanted that level of like, someone's really got this fucking badass plan, and we don't know who they are because they don't ever want to be known. Dude. But Gravik's just like, I'm everywhere.
Yeah, he's fucking everywhere. I did not like Gravik in the early episodes for sure.
Sorry, Gravik.
Matt Gravik is everywhere.
Performance in the final episode, cool as hell.
Exactly.
Dude, I'm with you, man. He grabs Nick Fury's face and screams.
Great monologue there. But the tension and all that stuff, what I did love is, in addition to the threat of this world war, in a world that we understand and know because it's real, there's also the thing of like, there's now footage of Nick Fury
killing
people, causing this to all happen.
Here we go.
Using
we
the scroll stuff. I thought that was cool. It just never hit that point that you're talking about here. That we're about to walk.
You didn't claim so hard for this. I love it.
The bomb is in play.
Thank you. Perfect. Nailed it, Kevin. Nailed it.
You nailed it, man.
That gold, you guys. I know it. What's the other one now?
It wasn't the Russians. That was like in the trailer, I remember, in the previous.
Oh, God, I love it here.
Nailed it, Gray. That was good.
Dissenting councilwoman Shirley C. Sager contacts Talos to arrange a meeting between him and Gravik. In London, Fury meets with Colonel James Rhodes to explain the situation, but Rhodes discharges Fury and blames him for the bombing and Hill's death. Again, you're like, man, this is so off the mark from what it is.
Yep.
They got to retcon this. They're not going to take away Civil War. Falsworth interrogates an imprisoned rebel. A great scene again where she comes in. Where's the escape thing? Just a hunch. I'm going to need an escape route out of here. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Lovely.
Insanely violent show. We didn't talk about that. Cuts his finger off, right? But, dude, there's some stuff in this that I was like, fuck. And I thought it was like good uses of violence. Like pulling the thing off his
and
hand.
And this is great, too. So here we go. Again, back to my point that it isn't going to be from Civil War on. You cut off the finger, it turns into a Skrull finger. You get stabbed in the hand, you get shot in the hand later on in a future episode, it's a Skrull hand. So when they would have done the surgery on Rhodey, you would have had Skrull blood, you would have had Skrull shit. Like I remember in the endgame, he's like, canopy. Right? Like he had a cut on it and he wasn't bleeding purple or anything.
Yeah, I know. I'm with
you. It better not fucking be Civil War.
I mean, it is, but
Tim,
you're right. It
I love
sense.
You. You're family to me. If it's Civil War, I'm bare knuckle boxing your ass. Holy all right. Shit. If it's
how about this? How about this?
I'll beat you too. You want it too, Andy?
I was gonna say, what if like you know, obviously the canopy moment happens.
I can't remember if he had a cut. I figured he had a cut.
Rhodey goes down, but like, what if that's the moment that they're like, damn, we're gonna need a lot of extra time in order to recover him to bring him back to full power. We need to put a scroll in place in the meantime. Because like well, you know, like when people say that, like there's always rumors that like, oh, the president actually died like a week ago, but they're just like keeping everybody. You know what I mean? Like
show Dave and movie Dave,
the movie Kevin Dave, Klein. Exactly.
Yeah. House of the Dragon,
Sigourney Weaver. Dave's Love dick him. Is different in it. That's one of the ways she knows.
She knew his Peach League was not a little. It was a little bigger.
Peach League, God. Let's keep going.
Remember when Greg was trying to jerk off to Bridgerton?
There was no trying.
Is that the London show?
Yeah.
What's that?
My London, Sean. London Bridge is falling down.
No.
I don't think Fergie was in it.
No, she wasn't, but it's a fun song.
Bridgerton. Shonda Rhimes, the Shonda Land show, right?
But is that the period piece?
Yeah. But it's like never they have a gossip columnist and shit.
A lot
of sex in it.
What's the show that on the BBC that everybody watches?
Oh, you're thinking of Downton Abbey.
That's the one.
Same amount of sex, though.
That's the one. No?
Didn't watch that either.
On the desk.
I just thought it out there.
I forget. Like, there's one part where she's like on a library ladder, Andy. You got to watch this fucking
But it's
show.
On Netflix.
Season one.
It's
season
show.
One.
Nudity.
Season one.
If people didn't like season two.
Yeah, no, again, this is what I was talking about. I couldn't jerk off to.
Yeah, can't.
Falsworth interrogates imprisoned rebel Brogan, who reveals that Gravik is building a machine capable of strengthening the Skrulls with help from a scientist couple, the Daltons. named after?
It wasn't a Timothy Russian. Dalton.
Yeah! Yeah! Kevin, yeah!
That was real good, Kev.
Named after Roadhouse's Dalton. Gaia discovers that the rebels are experimenting with powered DNA before accompanying Gravik to kill Brogan. This is cool when she goes into their little 1980s computer. They've got Groot there, and they got a
Cole Obsidian.
Yeah, there it is. I was going to say Cal Kestis.
Extremis.
Yeah, Extremis. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Cool stuff here.
Hey, we got a universe.
New Skrullos.
We should use some. Yeah, bad name. But we got some universe shit we should use here.
And I need to. I know there's been 6 weeks of people breaking down this shit, so it's like there's a lot of things out there. But like one big question is like, we know that New Asgard exists. So this whole concept of like we're gonna kill all the aliens, do they count as aliens or are they cool?
Nah.
Why didn't, if Fury promised a fucking home, why couldn't he have just done it if he could do it for the fucking Asgardians? Why can't you do it?
Asgardians
did it
themselves. Because, like, I mean, Norway was like, yo, we kind of, like, worship you. You want to come here and have an ice cream stand? Like, yeah, fuck, cool. Right?
But, I mean, it's also like the, you know, Ukraine refugees, they found a safe place for them real quick, you know?
Yeah, they I mean, why they should have called it Scrollville. That's my big takeaway.
Yeah.
Take a scroll in Scrollville.
Fury returns home. And gets his little wedding ring out of the dish and puts it on. And is met by his wife, a Skrull named Vara, who is taking on the human identity, Priscilla Davis.
Can we talk about how awesome this house is?
Dude, is it not the best house you've ever fucking seen? Yeah.
Lots of natural light. I like that. Yeah.
Dude. Beautiful. Every time they showed up, every single thing was immaculate. The one note Gia has on this, the books are organized by color. That is her. She just can't. She doesn't like that.
She has to be alphabetical?
Yeah.
Can you tell Gia
that she cares about books so much? She's like, they're not just a fucking prop.
Can you tell Gia that only an insane person reads a book more than once?
She doesn't read books more than once. But
okay. Why keep them?
We should get a book.
Why keep them?
We should get a book.
You know what I have in my bookshelf? Plants that I keep killing.
Nice. Next time we go to Tim and Gia's, we should bring a book.
He winked.
I know. Why did
you put a bunch of ants inside and you put it up there and you walk away?
Ants? Yeah, I'm in for this.
Nick said, My shelves have plants on them, and then they die, and then winked at Greg.
Off camera.
Greg gets the struggle.
You guys don't understand.
He gets the fucking grind. He's out there jerking off to 3-year-old Netflix shows.
I don't know. Why does it matter how old they are? You know what I mean?
You understand why I was so surprised that I thought it was Downton Abbey you were jerking off to?
I do get it.
I had them mixed up.
Professor McGonagall's in that, though.
Sure. Downton Abbey, notorious for being, like, chaste. That slow burn chest. British, it's all about sex.
Oh.
They're very different vibe shows. Very different.
Downton Abbey does that thing, though, where you're starting to get into it, and you're like, okay, maybe I could. And it's like, oh, it's a Titanic sink. You're like, ah, fuck. Yeah. All right, well.
Oh, we discovered badminton.
It's a
new game.
It's a plot point. Plot point.
We found a shuttlecock.
Yeah, the plot point for this show. Wild.
There's this thing, too, in Bridgerton season two, right?
There was a pause. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear that dead air for a second? That Greg really had to decide.
I've been trying to work in this B story for a while, all right? You remember this?
Which B?
The dad got stung by a bee and died. And so his kid's all fucked up about it.
Boob.
No, again, season two, not that many boobies. Oh, man. Very upsetting. Fury, I already did that part. Again, I like this thing that he had a wife. That was cool.
I loved it. Yeah. I really did. I don't know. I loved exactly where they went with it all, but like sick reveals and stuff here, I thought.
Number three. Betrayed. Gravik reveals to the Skrull count. What? I'm not allowed to be intense once in a while? You know? I'm sorry, Andy. You know what? I built all this from the ground to show your acting skills, but I come
Episode
out here.
Three.
There it is. See? There it is. See, it is. Now it's just Andy's show again. You know? Gravik reveals.
Do what you are. We're having a meeting outside. I was having Rogers fucking spitting milk out of his nose. I would just go, Kamala. He was dying a lot.
That's a good impression.
Gravik reveals to the Skrull Council that he intends to create Super Skrulls with special abilities using the power DNA. He also explains that he has sent rebels to infiltrate the Royal Navy in order to launch missiles at a United Nations aircraft. Gravik meets with Talos to negotiate a parlay, but the discussion breaks down when the former threatens to kill Gaia.
I mean, the cool shot from the trailer of everybody turning into Gravik.
Oh, I didn't see it in the trailer. So that was cool to me. Yeah, where he's
cool
like,
as fuck.
Gets Very up cool. and he's like grabbing his fucking, and everybody stands up and does it. And I was like, oh, and then I was like, oh, we're gonna do one of these like anybody can be Gravik kind of things. You know what I mean? Like one Gravik falls, another rises.
But imagine you see it in the trailer, like, oh, wow, we're about to get something here.
Yeah, yeah.
We got a whole lot of
another nothing. Dumb question because I know there's a reason behind it. Why not kill? Just kill Fury?
Because right now they only have Extremis, Cull Obsidian.
Oh, they want
whatever they needed. Groot. The Harvest and Groot.
Right.
Yeah. They needed the Harvest. That's right. That's right. Which, Kevin, I can't wait till you hear what the Harvest is. But continue, Greg.
Gaia secretly sends Talos information about the Royal Navy attack. Fury, angry that Talos in lost so many Skrulls to infiltrate Earth, reluctantly asks Talos to, I'm gonna have to slow down every time, to help him stop Gravik. They contact Fallsworth and learn the name of the Naval Command Headquarters officer in charge, Commodore Robert Fairbanks. Fury and Talos break into Fairbanks' home. Well, we skipped the whole drive and them arguing in the car. Again, I like this.
Yeah.
You know, a strained friendship. Or was it ever a friendship? Was it just a working relationship which somebody abused? Wouldn't know anything about that. Now would you, Andy? Thank you. Fury and Talos break into Fairbanks' home and interrogate him, learning that he is a Skrull.
This whole scene, when I don't think about it, I really like. The moment you put an ounce of thought into the who, what, when, where, why of any of it, it's like, oh, this is stupid. But how it was just happening, I was like entertained by this a lot of like the submarines, they're trying to get the name and like he called him Nick and all that stuff. Super into
cool.
It. It's just kind of like then when you start asking questions, it's like, oh, okay.
Did they kill him in front of the kid?
No, the kid was in the other room. They left.
What did they do with the kid?
They left him. They left him tied up to the heater. Which, again, I was just like such a weird thing of like,
yeah.
They know how much they care about the kid whose name escapes me, so I'm call him Teddy. They know how much this guy cares.
Of course.
You're on fire.
They know, how much Robert cares about Teddy, right? Because immediately they come up when they've got Teddy and they get him to put the gun down, right? So now they chain Teddy up to a heater,
mm-hmm.
Come back in, tell us the passcode. And he's like, I'm not going to tell you the passcode. I'd be like, oh, fuck, I go get Teddy. Now I shoot him in the foot. You know what I mean? Like, this ain't... this
hacking ain't, off pieces.
Yeah,
of
this ain't goddamn rocket science. I know your weakness.
Yeah.
You're going to sit there and fucking posture like you're tough? You just rolled over because of fucking Teddy. You know what I mean? Roll over again. Then I'm going to roll you and Teddy up in a carpet over the bridge. Guys, I'd be a great Joker. You know what I mean? Push me one step.
So glad you're not.
Just fucking push me.
I feel like the thing about Joker is like there's a lot of not having eye contact. Greg just looks straight into my, like he looks at me. I see him looking into my eyes. Then he starts laughing and he's seeing my soul.
Yeah.
I'd fuck Teddy up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
stop World War III or whatever. And I get creative. You know, I'd go looking for the golf clubs and shit. Especially, and we're in a bedroom, right? A lot of people don't think you can turn anything into a torture room. I disagree, right? Take Teddy's hand, just slam it in the drawer right there. You know what I mean?
That was too ready, Greg.
Is this the underwear drawer? You know what I mean? And me and Nick Fury just have
to. You can tie someone up with socks if you try hard enough.
Thank you.
Oh my god! Oh my god! All right, back to it. After he provokes Talos into killing him, Talos contacts Gaia, who acquires Fairbanks' authorization code so they can abort the missile launch in time. This is another one, too. She goes down to the basement where everybody's sitting there in their little mind control devices, and I'm like, oh, she's going to dive in. She's like watches the TV and just, oh, it's Teddy. You know what I mean? It's Teddy's the fucking word. Teddy's, I mean, again, you know, so, yeah.
Lame. Lame.
Wait, this is where the missiles were. Is this where we see the missile silo and the guy that's the
no? I was thinking
that's
of
later, right?
Like literally they very similar thing happens at the end where like remember everybody's got their guns drawn and on the president,
right,
the Super Skrulls are fighting, yeah. Like you got to call off the launch and, yeah.
Oh, that's the president launching.
It wasn't the Russians. Yeah,
right.
The bomb is in play.
Thank you.
Gaia attempts to run away, but Gravik, who suspected her of betrayal, shoots her and leaves her for dead. Meanwhile, Vara secretly contacts an unknown person wishing to speak to Gravik, but is denied.
Ooh, again, enticing. Watching this week to week, I'm like, oh shit, I think Amelia Clark's dead, but she could be alive. They could do this, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then there's also this like, oh damn, Fury's wife is a Skrull and also like potentially not on his side. Does he know she's a Skrull? Does he not? We don't know. And then they answer that question very quickly.
They do.
And it's not that satisfying overall.
No. Number four, beloved. I would say beloved, but they say beloved. Beloved.
I'm a beloved guy.
A beloved.
I like beloved. Yeah.
Feels more fitting.
Before she attempted to run away from the rebels, Gaia used Gravik's machine to empower herself with Extremis abilities. This allows her to recover from Gravik's gunshot and meet with Talos. He explains to her that he is planning to ask United States President Ritson to help the Skrulls after they successfully stop the rebels, which disappoints Gaia, who hoped for a stronger plan to find them a new home. And she just walks off. Mm-hmm. It's like a shot in a field and there's a fence and she clearly just walks to the fence. I was like, where are you going? What is this?
I saw a really good breakdown of why so many of these shows have just really odd editing and blocking and all sorts of stuff like that. And somebody kind of put it perfectly on Twitter of like, these shows, these Disney ones in particular, are not really shot with the directors and cinematographers' ideas in mind. They're shot for coverage.
Yeah.
Because they have to, I know exactly the picture they're talking about that was like being made fun of. It was a picture of Nick Fury sitting on a couch in front of a green screen, holding a green screened weapon to be like CG'd.
Mm-hmm.
And he's holding like a weapon with markers on it, with CG markers. And everybody was like, Marvel's all, why waste CG on that? It's so stupid. And they're like, no, it's not for CG. It's because the reason why whenever y'all have issues with the editing and the pacing and weird stuff that happens in these shows, or sometimes they repeat shots or whatever, it's because they mainly just shoot for coverage rather than like shooting for the quality of it, because they know that, well, China won't be able to show this aspect of the show that we'll have to edit out easily. This country won't be able to show this aspect of the show that we'll have to edit out easily. So they have like 12, 15 different variations of everything. And like,
yeah.
And that's why a lot of these moments do feel kind of like, sometimes they'll just show a random shot of somebody looking really odd. It's like, what was the point of that? You know, and I feel like that happens a lot in these movies.
Mm.
And that tweet like kind of put it perfectly for me, as well as the CG debate of like people from CG houses replying to these tweets about the bad Marvel CG and going, look, here's how CG happens now in Hollywood. Marvel puts out a thing and says, hey, we need this shot, this shot, this shot, and this shot. And all these CG houses put forth their like proposals. And it's always like, whoever could do it for the cheapest and the fastest is going to get the proposal. And that's why it's just like, that's why a lot of the shots look rushed and bad at times, because they're going for the cheapest and the fastest.
Probably how we got the intro.
Yeah.
That was AI, right? A bunch of garbo.
That is how like CG houses have always done it. So it's like,
yeah,
when like a like,
but it's even worse now, because like, yeah. I'm talking about all the stuff that was made during COVID. That was like, the production was going to be even tougher then, and things just looked worse then.
Yeah, but I hear you and I understand that, but there's some shots in here and some editing in here that are just god awful, and a lot of it's the blocking of the actual actors that could have been like, there's a moment where his wife and Emilia Clarke are they're walking toward the kitchen, and the scene normally when you have two characters walking into a different room, normally that would motivate a camera angle change, but instead they just walk and stop and start talking to each other as if we were like, if you and I were talking this way, and then they just sort of kind of turn toward each other and talk. And the scene goes on for so long that I'm thinking, why have they not cut, like, motivate, tell your actor to pick up a cup or walk over here for something else, to motivate a camera move to a different cut so we can get them out of this fucking environment, because it starts to get claustrophobic after a while. Like,
Didn't they do that?
They do eventually, where she goes like, oh, how about some tea or something? But like, put that line earlier.
Maybe we're thinking about different ones. I thought you were talking about the scene that like, I thought the reason they did that was a choice, because it was when they were walking and talking, they're like, oh, like, you know, don't worry about me, I'm ready for them whenever they fucking come. And then they fucking the next Karate Kid them and fucking fall through the
That's the same scene. Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like that was supposed to be like, we're supposed to sit with them uncomfortably long so they could be interrupted by them.
No, this was prior to that. And again, I could be wrong, because I'd have to go back and watch this. But I remember distinctly being, they're in the kitchen and then they go into the green room that we'd never seen before, but it has this like wild DNA strand garden that I don't think they even talked about.
They did.
But that's where I think the fight scene happens. Then it's just a cool like fight scene between the two, like kicking ass.
And it's pretty cool.
It's just pretty fucking cool. There's just a lot of those moments in there. There's also a couple scenes that I'm like, man, they really should have just, they didn't need that really quick, quippy move person from point A to point B scene. When, like, we would have just understood.
When you're reenacting that scene right now, it reminded me a lot of your Tobey Maguire Spider-Man 1. Here we go.
Greg, I'm going to do this, then please go on with the plot. Thank you. Don't make
I love it.
Don't make him laugh. Audio listeners, he's rotating real slow.
looking off camera.
Can I please get Tobey Maguire's introduction in Spider-Man No Way Home?
You think you know me? You don't know anything?
Was that no, when, that's Spider-Man.
Oh, was that when
he comes through the portal?
Youth pastor.
He's just bobbling his microphone. <That's
literally laughs> Thank you, Toby. Thank you, Toby.
Physical comedy.
Toby.
Vara meets with Rhodes as a disguised Skrull named Rava and is instructed by the latter to kill Fury. Having recently listened to their conversation, Fury confronts Vara over this, but they reconcile after she reveals she took an oath to her human counterpart to never harm Helava. That was really cool. I like all this. This is the gunshot part, right? And the explanation of everything. Great. And again, this is the, you know, they snuck out a terminal cancer patient. Doctor was never like, that's where they didn't die.
Yeah.
Fury visits Rava and shares a drink with her. Oh, maybe. No, secretly planting a liquid tracker. Fury and Talos then follow Rava as she picks up. Oh, right. I see. And Talos then follow Rava as she picks up Ritson for talks with Russia. Gravik and the rebels attack Ritson's convoy disguised as Russian terrorists. Fury and Talos extract an unconscious Ritson, but Gravik kills Talos in the process.
And this is the episode where you go, oh, this is where that $200 million budget is going to. Like, I could see where it's actually going to now, because a lot of the criticism was like, this show costs how much? Where the fuck are they spending that money? And this sequence, I thought, was, it looked pretty big budget in terms of like explosions and all the
dude, it was sick. Honestly, I thought this was really good.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Episode 5, Harvest. Following their failed attack on Ritson, the rebels start to lose faith in Gravik for not killing Fury and his perceived deception towards them. A new recruit named Beto leads a small group in mounting a mutiny, but Gravik kills them all. Meanwhile,
Groot powers.
Right, yeah, that was cool. This is, if you remember, the hentai from back in the trailer reacts we did. When I said
Kevin's
hentai.
Laughing a lot.
I'm fucking on fire today. Kevin loves me.
I just, me and Nick had a moment that, like, we only had, and, like, I don't think he thinks I even saw it, but what were you doing?
Yeah, I've done this before, Kevin. I'm glad you finally picked up on it.
Okay.
Sometimes I like to treat this like it's a microscope.
Yep, he was looking at the head out of the one, and he was looking in there as a microscope. I'm like, what the fuck?
This is a great episode of In Review, everybody.
I was wondering what he was doing. It wasn't even related to what Greg was saying.
I was thinking about that botany garden that lady had in the show, and I was like, I bet she had a microscope in there.
Probably did.
And Patriot Game.
What's all Russian?
Damn it, I missed it. It was supposed to
be. It's in play!
The bomb is in play!
Mike L says, oh, no. Alex says, Greg just totally went over the fact that Talos died, not that it really matters. Was that the end of episode 4?
Yeah, he got stabbed.
Yeah.
Well, he gets,
but Gravik kills Talos in the process. I said it.
Oh, okay, yeah. But maybe he just meant that you went through over it pretty quickly. Wild. Like, killing this guy, I thought for sure,
especially they hung the camera on him, like, oh, he's going to get up after the fact or the next
freaking
episode
dead.
Or whatever.
And we see it, not only a body, we see the body get burned. Like, we see the whole process of it. I'm like, it's just kind of wild to me that they would do this. Like, I don't feel like we needed to lose Ben Mendelsohn's Skrull as, like, our Skrull. It didn't feel valuable to the plot overall. Like, it just, I don't like that. I just don't like the decisions they made here.
It felt like Marvel as a whole had committed to the Skrulls as a concept and then maybe realized, what are we really going to do with this down the line? Is there a way that we can kind of fast track and kind of write it all out in this 6 episodes and kind of, like, not have that be a factor.
Totally.
You know,
but then there's millions of them now. Yeah. They multiplied their problem by millions.
Shout out to Talos.
In for a pound.
Shout out to Talos for using his super strength to break the bulletproof window. Really cool.
Yeah.
Remember, he's like losing it because he got shot and he's like, man, they're like, it's my alien. But then it
the transfer, there's a lot of shoddy looks and CG and shot and stuff. I thought that overall the CG in this show was pretty good. And like the Skrull stuff, I thought was really cool. And like this moment of him dying and like half transforming and shit, I'm like, this looks great.
The bomb is in play.
That's a good Mendelsohn. I like that. I was right there with you.
Thank you.
Do you remember the balls in the 80s that like had like monster faces on them? That's what the Skrulls looked like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You squeeze them and they go push out of the
Meanwhile, Fury gets Ritson to a hospital and confronts Rava, but she reveals that she has leaked footage of Hill's death, placing Fury on a global watch list. Fury later meets with Gaia, who reveals Gravik is looking for the quote-unquote harvest. After exposing her superior Derek Weatherby as a Skrull, Falsworth locates Dr. Rosa Dalton, another disguised Skrull, and questions her about Gravik's DNA machine.
There it is.
There they are. Those are the guys there I'm talking about. Great balls. Job.
Tim, do you want to... I believe you're really excited to talk to Kevin about the harvest.
Yeah, I mean, we'll
we're getting
science,
there
science, science with Kev.
I'm Kevin. It's now, hold on. It's coming up. We're if we can get to it, it's actually.
Let's do it again in the future because I need it. I was on the wrong octave. Go ahead.
I do want to talk about this scene for a second, though. I thought it was a lot of fun. Olivia Colman having fun coming in there. It's not anything we haven't seen before, but her kind of going up to them, then pulling the guns on it, but other people had guns on them, like that whole, and her just being cute about it all of just like, oh, I know you're a Skrull, and I know this, and I know this.
Yeah.
Loved the confidence in her. This was maybe my favorite scene she had.
Rava shows Ritson pictures of Gravik's Russian base, New Skrullos, to implicate Russia as Skrull sympathizers and advise a strike on the compound. Gravik calls Fury, offering to call off the strike if he brings him the harvest in person.
Skrulltopia.
Gaia and Vara hold a funeral for Talos and fend off an attack by Gravik's men. In Finland, Fury leads Falsworth to a grave marked with his name, which contains the harvest. A collection of DNA from the superheroes who fought during the Battle of Earth.
Science, science, science with Kev.
I'm Kev.
So Kev, the MacGuffin of this show that they've introduced, right, is the whole plan is the Skrulls are going to become super Skrulls with the DNA that they found from alien creatures that have powers. The ones that they had were pretty basic, the ones we've known from things before, but Group, Cull Obsidian, and Extremis, things like that. There's one other I'm missing, but whatever.
Ebony Maw.
Wait, is Extremis like alien, or it doesn't have to be alien?
No, just like just power the stuff. Yeah, but there was a fourth one that they had there. The Harvest, though, is a little tiny little canister thingy, a little vial, clear vial, all that's weird, of DNA of the Frost Beast. Thank you. From Thor. So, Kev, they got DNA from every single hero and villain involved in the Endgame battle. The portal scene.
And they just mixed it together. Like
mixed it all together in this little fucking bio, right? But you think about this. At one point, they show a computer. Yeah, thank you. That's it.
Really?
Yeah.
This is it.
This is it.
Huh.
This is it.
It's actually, somebody's found out what that bottle is, and it is that's what
like
the bottle
eyes.
No, right? Well, that's what the bottles look like. The stink bombs that you buy as a kid. Like,
the stink bombs look a little bit different, and like they were in the news recently because someone was claiming it was like a CDC like virus.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
But they do look a little bit different. But this does look very generic. Of like, this could have a little bit of nail polish or something. You know?
Dude. Yeah. So they tried to explain to us that the literally the origin of this is somebody, like some government entity that was involved with Fury, went out to the Avengers compound and just found some blood here. Found some, I don't know,
no,
shit and piss.
Yeah. Didn't, well, he had sent them out, right?
Kevin, they were out there a long time. There's so many shit and
got
piss
some
out there.
Here.
Sorry, this might have been how they got the original powers, but I thought Fury was in charge for sending the Skrulls out to go and get all that stuff.
Sorry, yes. Yeah. He was involved. That was the government side of it, though, like the shield and whatever. But yeah. Fury sent Skrulls out to the battlegrounds to get all the DNA. So now all the hero's DNA is in this. And there's a moment where you see a computer like go through all the different things. And it's every hero name we have ever fucking heard of, like including Korg, Valkyrie. Like they are getting in there with some of this shit.
Yeah, Korg at one point, like they have rock arms and stuff. Right?
So eventually they get this thing and now we're about to get to the...
Fury takes the harvest and prepares to confront Gravik.
Is this how they make the Fantastic Four?
Well... without getting too nerdy and into all this stuff, Super Skrull in the comics is all four of the Fantastic Four's powers.
I liked this where Fury is kind of like back to his old fighting weight, even though he really didn't change much. But like he's like, and he has the trench coat, and then
he suits up. There's the fucking suit up moment, man. It is really cool, even though it's easy.
And that's where I'm like, we're gonna have a banger of a finale.
Episode 6, Home.
Home.
Fury confronts Gravik at New Skrullos. Gives him the harvest and asks that he spare Earth and conquer other planets.
Skrull Town.
Kevin, since you didn't watch this and other people didn't, remember it's a radioactive place they live. So when Gravik makes a joke of make sure you bring some iodine pills or whatever. And so Fury's popping these pills, but he's collapsing as he walks into this place. Mm-hmm. Gravik refuses before using the harvest to empower himself further and attempt to kill Fury, only to learn it is a disguised Gaia who also used the harvest because she was in the thing. A real Superman 2 Red Chamber here.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those, so look at that. There it is. There's the harvest.
That's perfect. Stinkies. She's in the in the machine,
yeah,
right, that gives him powers,
uh-huh,
dying. He leaves who he thinks is Fury in the machine, right?
Yeah.
Is that because humans can't?
Yeah, humans can't get the power. It's, it's a, okay, device only would give it to Skrulls.
That makes sense to me. Okay, so that's what I assumed. I always thought maybe I just missed that point.
Remember that from Superman 2, though, when he put them outside.
He's like, they were out there, but
one of my favorite Nick.
We weren't here.
Yeah. The two fight with Gaia, eventually killing Gravik. Meanwhile, Rava.
No.
I know, Greg.
But no. We're not just gonna gloss over this, Kev. If anything. Fuck quality, fuck it. You need to watch this scene because this scene is fucking awesome for what they're showing. How, what, why and all that? I'm not so sure. Yeah. But we get two Super Skrulls with every hero in the MCU's powers fighting against each other, and they actually use it, and it's fucking awesome. It looks stupid as hell. Yes, she has a big arm, but it's Drax's arm, and she's punching. She punches him.
The first
him,
one is
Abomination, and then they
the
punch
first one Hulk's arm, right?
They have Hulk. Like, it's, they switch between all of them, and at some point, they fucking blast off. They use the Ebony Maw thing, like where he does a little like silence thing and like teleport,
psychic,
like,
telekinesis,
like fucks things up. And then eventually, fucking does the Captain Marvel like binary blast thing where she like shoots up and they're like in the sky, punching each other and all that shit, and they're coming down, and she gets Mantis's fucking antenna, and she goes sleep. Fucking awesome.
But like, real talk, real question. You know, you've got access to all the powers there, and I know we have to have a fight, it has to be fun, so you have to go through like order of escalation of like starting with the big brutes and then some of the more nuanced powers.
Ghost from, right, we gotta Wasp.
Go. She turns into Hawkeye, and she's just like, ah, oh, fuck, yeah, like I'm just,
this sucks, I suck,
right? I don't have cool arrows in me.
Are you not just at a certain point being like, can I I'm just gonna skip the line to Miss Marvel's powers, Captain Marvel's powers,
yeah,
right? You got it.
You got it.
She's the most powerful being like in the roster at this point, right?
Oh, well, now Gaia is.
Well, I mean, other than that.
Yeah.
So but I was like,
where we are now, Gaia has every hero's fucking powers.
That's wild.
Including Captain Marvel. And at one point, her arm turns into Thanos.
You know what the worst part about it is, though? Every power in the palm of her hand.
It's a lot of responsibility.
She still couldn't get rid of that fucking wig on her head. It was.
Hit the song!
Is it a wig?
Awful.
I don't know. Wigging out with Scarpino.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is a special episode of Wigging Out with Scarpino. This is a public service announcement right now, okay? Don't put your actress in that wig ever again, because it makes her face look so pale, it makes her look sick. I don't know what color brown they chose, but it's the wrong color brown. Don't do it again. That is all. Please spread the word. That is all.
Anyway, what was I going to say? It would have been a real tragedy if Emilia Clarke was just like, oh, these powers are going buck wild, and just had Thanos' chin the whole rest of the time. Just like, I've got this big bald chin.
Powers are going buck wild.
I've got this big bald chin right now. I don't know what to do with it. How to get rid of it.
But they kind of have, the Skrulls kind of have that chin normally, right?
Oh, but I was just thinking like a big oversized.
Oh, that
like
was the only power she got from.
Yeah.
Well, I was like, oh, surely they're going to have to do something where like these powers can't exist and like with together and they can use them once and then they all explode or something like that. But no, they're like, no, you get to walk away with this.
No, you get to walk away
it's
with
a good
man.
Wig.
Like, dude, you're right, Nick. Like, that's kind of, they should have just let her die.
They needed to have something where it was like, because it was,
or it was too much for their bodies.
So
to
the
hold.
Second they introduced Extremis, I was like, oh, okay, that's how they're going to solve this problem eventually. Is that, remember, they had a problem dealing with it, you get too crazy. Blah. No, she's like, cool, see you guys later. I'm off to New Asgard to fuck some shit up. So I'll go for a scroll. New Asgard.
All right, so Andy, here's them fucking on the ladder.
Oh, okay.
Here's them fucking on the stairs.
Okay.
This is Bridgerton,
cool,
ladies and gentlemen.
Stairs, always like it's got to be uncomfortable for the person on the bottom.
Always.
Right?
But meanwhile, Rava successfully convinces Ritson to authorize a nuclear strike on New Skrullos, but is tricked by Falsworth into arranging for Ritson's evacuation.
I remember earlier I said there were three things in the finale that I didn't like and ended up liking. It was them in the dual planes of action of the Super Skrull fight and then also the hospital scene of like the president and the race to, is Don Cheadle going to convince him to fucking start World War III or are they going to stop him? And then the team starts getting shot off, but it's off screen and you don't see who's doing the shooting. And I was like, this better be somebody interesting, because if it's just Coleman, like, this sucks. And then when it was Coleman, I was like, this sucks.
Yeah.
But then it was like, oh, it's Fury. I was like, yeah, I should have seen it coming, but I'm satisfied with this. Satisfied.
Rava attempts to retaliate, but is killed by Fury.
But also, like, we've been building up to Gravik versus Fury, and like he just never gave him that satisfaction.
I didn't like, Amelia Clark just didn't, like, and Gaia, not Amelia Clark, she's fine. I mean, the Gaia characters did do it for me this entire show.
No, well, it would have if it was her confronting the person that killed her mom and dad.
Well, she did, right? That's Gravik, right?
Yeah, but we just never, I never really felt
no,
that.
And also, this is supposed to be Nick Fury's show, and on top of that, what was this show actually about? And how many times did they reiterate the fact that Nick Fury's like, this is my fight, I'm not calling my Avenger friends, this is my fight, and then it's like, well...
At some point, you got to call the Avengers.
At some point, you got to call the Avengers, and also, you didn't do the fight.
No, you don't call the Avengers, because they set up such a really cool, interesting fucking concept, which is that you can't trust anyone. How can you know what I mean? What if we call in fucking, well, I don't know who's left in the Avengers now in this camp.
Captain America, Bucky.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, right. Falcon, who's not Captain America, right? Yeah. Call them in, but dude, you can't trust them.
There's a good point you're making here where it's like, I do think the show did a good job of systematically taking away every person that Fury knew he could trust.
Right.
Which
is everyone.
With Maria Hill.
Anyone could be a Skrull. If Rhodey's a Skrull, you can't trust anyone. I get it. But I didn't really. At a certain point, at this point, I was like, just call him, man. Take the shot. take the risk. It's probably not going to be a Skrull.
Rav attempts to retaliate, but is killed by Fury. Ritson calls off the strike, allowing Gaia to free Gravik's human prisoners, such as Ross and Rhodes. In the aftermath, Ritson issues a new bill declaring all off-world species as hostile forces and threatens to hunt down the remaining Skrulls on Earth, causing unrest as civilians publicly murder various high-profile officials for fear that they are Skrulls. They get a lot right, they get a couple wrong.
I thought this was a 10 out of 10 sequence.
Yeah,
just
cool.
The sequence, man.
Yeah,
it's just so scary. It's so cool. And it uses the MCU we know in such a dope ass way.
This is one, I thought this was an image, but it's just us. Andy, you didn't respond to my text message either.
I saw it. I'm going to respond to it.
Thank you.
Greg texted me, have you looked at the monitor to see how good I'm looking today? Like, I'm like 10 and have great hair.
I'm on fire right now.
It does look good. You know what I mean? You're right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. I'm looking real golden, though.
Falsworth meets with Gaia and proposes a partnership to protect the Skrulls against Ritson's bill. After cautioning Ritson about the unrest he caused, Fury asks Vara to come to Saber with him to help negotiate a peace summit with the Kree. She agrees, and they leave Earth together. No end credit scene.
Which is shocking.
Bonkers.
Not that it has to happen, but we have the Marvels next. We know that Harrison Ford is going to be Thunderbolt Ross, the president. Like, there's setup that they so easily could have done that I feel like would have made so much sense. But instead, I'm just putting this out there now. We have 3-4 months until the Marvels comes out, and we know Nick Fury's alive in that. They're on Saber, all this stuff. If we do not see, or there is no reference to Nick Fury's wife, come the fuck on. And I'm willing to bet
there's not going
to be. There won't be.
There's no way.
Then why have this moment? The end of this, it's... She was not with him. Then she comes with him to go up there. She better fucking be there.
She'll be in the background. They'll exchange a look, maybe. You know what I mean? Because he hides the wife.
That's all I mean. Just give me something. At this point, I just don't expect it. And that really bothers me. Because it's like, we're investing in these fucking shows.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they do their own Bridgerton sex scene up there in the Marvels.
You know? You think there's a bookshelf or a staircase up there?
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Oh, man.
That's it. Secret Invasion.
Ragu. Bagu.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast within a podcast that started it all. Rad Guys Talk Bad Guys, where we rank all the villains of the MCU and also X-Men. And there's a few other guys who have just been tossed in here. Remember, we do it in terms of tiers now. There's S tier, A tier, B tier, C tier, D tier, F tier, and then the Guardian special, which said NA. There's nobody, there was no villain in that. Where do we want to put Gravik?
It's tough for me because
great performance at the end.
Great performance, so many great lines, so much great dialogue. I really liked the fight. Parts of the plan I thought were interesting. But you need intrigue and you need mystery for that plot to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And without that, it really drags it down. So I don't want to say F tier.
What's the bottom of C tier?
Ethan Hawke and Khonshu from Moon Knight.
Mm.
Top of D.
The Vision from Solo in the movie Solo. Mm-hmm.
That's a, that one slipped by us, unfortunately.
Paul Bettany, yeah.
Below that, if you want an MCU counterpoint, the Mandarin and Aldrich Killian in Iron Man 3.
I think we put him lower than that.
Lower than that.
Yeah. I think it's got to be top, like in F tier, honestly. And here's the thing. That, again, actor, serviceable job.
No knock against given, him.
But just not as menacing as you possibly can with a plot that can't back it up.
I don't know. I'd put it at number 39, above Obadiah Stane.
Above Obadiah
Man.
Tony!
And under Mandarin and Aldrich from Iron.
Come on, we Obadiah at least he had a good plan for what he was doing, right? He hired the Mandarin's people. And
but I like the plan here of starting the World War. I thought that stuff was way cooler than
Obadiah.
Obadiah.
I'll put him below Loki from the first Thor movie.
Yeah, I put him right above Flag Smashers.
And John Walker.
That show is just such an unfortunate analog for me in a little, in quite a few ways.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. I'm down to vote there too.
Okay.
Not Tony Stark.
Tony.
Better than Obadiah.
Tony Stark built this thing in a cave.
So then,
lots of scraps.
Gravik enters at 42, ladies and gentlemen, in D tier. Below Loki and Thor from Thor, and above the Flag Smashers and John Walker from Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Do you think they ever get tired in the comics of hanging out in their costumes?
No.
Or do you think they just really have multiple types of costumes? These are the things that I wonder at night.
I mean, when I put on the Ghostbusters uniform,
when I see
Clive
in Final Fantasy 16, I'm like, God damn, that thing's got to be so sweaty and gross.
So sweaty, right? Stinky, tinky.
Yeah.
Stinky, tinky.
Now it's time to rank the MCU.
Both for echoing that.
Again, we have a lot, man. At number one, we have Avengers Endgame. I'm not going to read them all for this one. I'm just going to.
God damn, man. Wow. I didn't know we're allowed just to half-ass the show now.
Yeah, I will. I'll read it. Hey, should I read them all? I will.
You want me to read them?
Yeah, go for it.
Number one is Endgame. Number two is Infinity War. Three, No Way Home. Four is Spider-Man Homecoming. Five is Captain America Civil War. Six is Thor Ragnarok. Seven, Winter Soldier. Eight, Guardians 2. Nine, Wakanda Forever. 10, Loki. 11, WandaVision. 12, Avengers. 13, Guardians. 14, Guardians 3. 15, Shang-Chi. 16, Love and Thunder. 17, She-Hulk. 18, Iron Man. 19, Far From Home. 20, Black Panther. 21, Doctor Strange. 22 is Werewolf by Night. 23 is Doctor Strange's Multiverse of Madness. 24 is Hawkeye. 25, Quantumania. 26, Ms. Marvel. 27, Falcon and Winter Soldier. 28, Captain Marvel. 29, Ant-Man and the Wasp. 30, Ant-Man. 31, Black Widow. 32, Iron Man 2. 33, Avengers Age of Ultron. 35, Captain America First Avenger. 35, I said that wrong. 34 is Captain America First Avenger. 35, Guardians of the Galaxy Christmas Special. 36, Iron Man 3. 37, Eternals. 38,
what if?
39, Moon Knight. 40, Hulk. 41, Thor, and 42, Thor, The Dark World. Tim, I'm going to start with the votes. This is dead last for me.
Whoa! I want to go second. I want to go second here. I'm going number 42, second to last.
Mm.
I think that this is better than Dark World.
Dark World has Loki, though, and him and Thor have some really fun moments together.
That is true. But I thought that's the dialogue in this, the one-on-ones were pretty good. I thought the fight scenes were great. And I really like the final, the actual World War bit of the end, I think is really, really cool.
I will go next, and I would put it at 39, below What If and knocking Moon Knight down a peg.
Oh.
I like Samuel Jackson. You know what I mean? You know, girls are doing stuff. What made me think of Bridgerton?
It's just like, okay, but Moon Knight had the one really incredible episode.
Yeah, but remember, I really didn't like Moon Knight.
I mean, neither did I, but that but I could, but like, if I'm going to try to quantify quality here, like, I think Moon Knight had that one standout episode that you could say that we were all like, this is when Marvel knows what they're doing when they are doing character pieces. And this one just didn't really have any of that.
I'll be frank with you. Oh, when we were inside his head in the asylum, that one. And then a fucking hippo shows up at the end to talk to us.
But then he goes with his other self and they're watching his parents and everything. And that, like, that episode was really damn good.
It was.
Sadly, I'm with Andy. I'd put this dead last.
Wow.
I think the show's just categorically fails across the board, unfortunately, with the exception of Olivia Colman, who I thought was an inspired little glimmer of hope in what it was otherwise a show I hope never to watch again.
If anything, I would have hoped that this had
couple high highs and a bunch of bad lows. Unfortunately, it was just all across the board, like 4 out of 10, 3 out of 10.
Yeah, I don't know.
There were not really any moments that I went, ooh, this is fucking cool. Like,
yeah, that's
and
fair.
I wanted that,
yeah,
you know?
That's fair.
So there we go. It's number 43, Secret Invasion.
Oh, shit.
A new final one on the list. I never thought
I was going to type it in there.
Get beat.
I was going to type it in there anyway on the ranking.
Wow. So yeah, there it goes. We will return a couple more times this year to the MCU. We have the Marvels in November. And also November, we have three things in November. We have the Marvels, Loki season 2, and Echo season 1.
Huh.
So all of those will be happening. We'll be returning.
I'm excited
to
for the Marvels.
Me too.
Yeah.
I like that guy. Yeah.
Echo, I had heard a rumor that that might get dumped, like the Batgirl treatment. But that's just
people saying shit. Like the reality, if I was a betting man, and some of this already is already out there, but it's all going to be dropped at once on one day. And I think that it's just going to be a 5-episode show.
Okay.
I think it's going to. But anyways, let us know in the comments below what you thought of Secret Invasion. If you are interested in watching The Sum of All Fears.
Oh, my God. Can we do that interview?
Anytime Tom Clancy would be dope.
So. No. Affleck interview.
It wasn't the Russians.
The bomb is in play.
We could do Fargo.
No, I mean, if we did Tom Clancy, you start with The Hunt for October. You got Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger.
Reindeer Games.
Have a marvelous
Reindeer
day.
Reindeer Games.